Hi, everybody. This is the Heritage Radio Network. This show is Flash Talks Cash, and I'm Joanne Flash Fleming, the show about money. Making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. Today's show is sponsored by Acme Smoked Fish, located in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Acme has been a mainstay in New York's culinary landscape for over 55 years. Using old-world recipes, Acme produces the finest smoked salmon, whitefish, sable that discerning palates demand. For information on where to find Acme, Blue Hill Bay, or Ruby Bay products, visit www.acmesmokedfish.com. I want to welcome my co-host, Andrew Newman.
Good afternoon.
Andrew's my son, in case you didn't know that.
Do you want to thank Nat and Jack
it's a good idea. Let's thank my engineer and my producer, Nat Wiener, and Jack Inslee for working with us on the show. So we get that. We don't forget to do that. We'll do that early on. I want to tell you guys that we're here every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. You can listen live, obviously. We broadcast live from beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn, Roberta's Restaurant. And you can also, if you can't tune in live, you can get us archived. Every episode is on the archive, the website, www.heritageradionetwork.com, or you can get a free podcast from iTunes. So there's no excuse. You can listen to us all the time. Wouldn't you love to listen to us all the time?
I have a hard time listening to myself all the time.
Yeah. Okay, so today's show, I knew Andrew was
going to
say something.
Also, I just want to jump in here. If you have questions or comments, the phone number is 718-497-2128.
We welcome questions and comments.
That number is 718-497-2128.
Please call and talk to us.
Wow, I sound desperate.
Well, I'd like to talk to people. Maybe I'd like to talk to somebody else besides my invincible co-host, Andrew.
And also the info@heritageradionetwork.com.
That's the email. So you can email or you can call. While we're live.
There you go.
And we'll take your calls. So today's show is called The Government, Legal Loan Sharks. Pretty bold, isn't it, Andrew? He's busy drinking water. It's
I'm
hot
thirsty.
Out today.
It's parched. I'm
yeah,
parched.
Yeah. Okay. So legal loan sharks. And the reason why is if you ever owe money to the government, they got you by the short hairs.
Short and curlies?
I don't know. I say
isn't that the term?
That's your term. I say
that's
short
That's the
hairs.
Term.
All right. So let's talk about what happens if you owe some money? Taxes. We're talking about the taxes,
just obviously. Taxes.
Just taxes. Okay. You owe the government your taxes. Income taxes, okay?
Is this past taxes or current taxes?
Both. We're talking about whatever.
All right, let's start
anything
with...
anything to do with
what
owing...
What are we starting with here?
We're going to start with first, you got to figure out what happened. Why you owe the government money.
Okay.
Because once you figure out why or how it happened, well, then you can at least... not let it happen again, which is really important because I have seen people and you've seen people. We all know people that are year after year after year in trouble with the government, with the taxes. Like, that's nuts. So you figure out what happened. Why did it happen? Was it because you work in 1099, a freelancer, and you didn't put any money away from taxes, or you don't have enough withholding taxes on your paycheck, or you, I don't know. There's a multitude of reasons. You came into a lot of money. You could have inherited an IRA. And not paid any taxes.
I thought you don't pay taxes as long as
IRAs it's... you do. Oh,
we have a phone call.
Somebody out there is listening.
Wow, that was
Let's
quick.
Take that call. Let's see what they have to say. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
It's Timmy.
Timmy, he called.
Hey, I'm in Pennsylvania.
Well, that's Timmy. Good, Timmy. Hi, Tim. It's nice to chat
hey.
With you.
Are
you
What's going
good?
On?
Well, we're just wondering if you have a question for us today.
Yeah.
Good. What is your question? Is it something to do with the government and taxes?
Oh, absolutely.
Good. What can we... Poor Andrew. Poor Andrew can't catch his
right.
breath.
Timmy, it was nice hearing from you. I'll see you next week, buddy.
Hey, okay. I really had a question, though.
All right,
what
good.
Is it?
Hey, I pay student loans, right? Is that tax deductible?
Of course it is. Your interest on your student loans is tax deductible.
Well, that's awesome. I didn't even know that. I've been paying for 7 years.
Make sure you keep paying your student loans. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe go back and amend your taxes and get your money back.
Oh, cool.
You could do that.
Oh, sweet. Sounds good.
All right.
That means we're going to have to do that. You know that, right?
Timmy.
Absolutely.
And
you guys are my accountants now.
All right. Let's get this caller off the air, please.
Thanks for calling, Timmy. Be careful in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Bye. Well, that was fun. Andrew thought that was a ride. That was Andrew's friend. And he has a obvious little problem. A question. All right.
So you can amend your tax returns for student loan interest and things like that?
Well, it might be worth it. If you have a lot of student loan interest, you could take it off as a deduction. And if it's, you know, a few thousands of dollars, the maximum you could deduct is $2,500.
And depending on your income level.
Well, it depends on what your tax bracket is. So yes, amend your return. If you're due back $500 or $1,000 because you paid and you forgot to put the student loan interest, go for it. Amend your return. It's worth it. Isn't it better in your pocket?
There you go.
But now let's just talk about when it's the other way around. Suppose you owe money. So as I was saying, you could be a freelancer at 1099. You could come into money inherited an IRA. You could have sold some stock with a big capital gain. Those are things that happen to people.
But didn't we say a couple weeks ago that if you inherit money, you don't have to pay tax on that?
Well, but an IRA, you have to pay tax.
Oh,
on.
Okay.
Not inheritance, but an IRA, yes, so you have to pay tax.
I didn't know that.
So, first you figure out what happened, so that doesn't happen again. And then you decide, you have to figure out how much you owe. Calculate your tax bill. And then know that once you calculate your taxes, suppose it's, you know, a couple thousand dollars, there's serious penalties and interest on it, depending on how long and how long it's been out there, right? The tax, the interest on it is compounded, just like a regular bank, compounded annual, daily or whatever it is. And it's the interest rates are posted out there. And their average interest rates, 7, 6, 5% interest rate they charge you on your outstanding tax debt. But the killer is the penalties. Penalties, the first 5 months, it could be up to 25% penalty. And the penalties keep accruing and the interest keeps accruing at a regular 0.5% per month until you pay it off. So the penalties, right off the bat, if you're 6 months delinquent, you're paying 25% penalty and interest. And now the interest and the penalties keeps going on top of the penalty and the interest. So it just keeps getting to be a really vicious cycle. People often get so stuck with their taxes that the penalty and interest just wipes them right out.
I could totally understand. It's like a credit card.
It's worse than a credit card. Worse than a credit card.
Wait, the penalties keep accumulating? Or is
it
just interest?
Yeah, but the maximum is 25%, but then it keeps accruing at 0.5% per month. And there are other penalties, too. There's a slew of penalties. Late payment penalty, underpayment of estimated tax penalties, late filing penalties, and all sorts of other civil penalties. There's lots of penalties out there. They got you. They got you by, like we said, the short hair. So the question then is, figure out how to pay these guys off. Let me just tell you have to pay these guys off. Pay them ahead of almost everything else. Obviously, you got to pay your rent. You got to pay your utilities. You got to buy some food. After that, pay your taxes. The credit card people, pay them the minimums. Don't pay down your credit card and leave Uncle Sam out there. And I'm talking about the state tax department, the same. State and federal, same thing. So you got to come up with a budget. You could contact them. Once you file your taxes, they're going to send you a bill. You can contact them. Set up an installment agreement. All right, you can say, okay, I'm going to pay you off each month. They have to approve it. They're very kind and welcoming when you come in to pay. They're very kind.
That's the nourishing fold that you talked about a few weeks ago.
Correct. People, you know, they get self-employed. They freelancers at 1099s. They feel very rich. All of a sudden, they have more money than they ever had before. This is pretty good. They like this freelance work, and they've got to pay the taxes. Now, all of a sudden, like they come to see me. I say, you know, you really should put away 25 to 30% of all you earn for your tax man. Just like when you go to work. You get a paycheck. You make $1,000. You wind up clearing, what, $700 out of it?
No.
Yeah, the tax man. The tax man takes out your pay taxes every week on your paycheck. Well, you got to do the same thing when you're freelancing. So what you got to do is set up an installment agreement, or there's programs out there called Offer and Compromise. You pay pennies on a dollar. People all want to sign up for that program.
What is that?
Offer and Compromise.
How does that work?
Well, I'll tell you how it works. You've seen it advertised where these people will help you get through the taxes. If you owe the government $4,000 or more, we can get your tax settled for pennies on the dollar. Well, they do have a program called Offer and Compromise, and it's for specific kinds of people. Candidates, people that can qualify under their strict criteria. Most people who get offers in compromise are people who either will never have the money to pay the tax in their lifetime. They could be older. They could be disabled. They could be in a situation where they'll never make that kind of money. It could be people who...
What if you just don't make any money?
Well, if you don't make any money but you're young, they're going to wait and let you pay. If you're 25 and you owe them $6,000 or $16,000, they're going to set up a payment plan and you'll pay them off over 5 years or 10 years or whatever. If you don't pay, you don't set up a payment plan, they have serious collection things. They have garnishes, they have levies, they have liens, they have judgments. Do you know what all those things do?
I know what most of them do. Okay. I never heard of it.
Well, how about
a judgment for?
How about telling them, tell everybody else, garnisher, when you work for a company, they'll garnisher your wages. They'll let you earn your $1,000 a week, pay your taxes, let you keep up to 10% and take the remaining 90%. It's serious. They're very serious. They have a lot of legal strength to go out there and grab your money. They can levy your assets, which means they can go into your bank account, your personal bank account, or your business bank account, depending on if you owe for business or personal, and they can grab your money out of your bank account. And they'll grab as much as they as available there, up to the amount that you owe them. So if you got $20,000 in the bank account and you owe Uncle Sam $46,000, they're going to take all 20. And so then they can also seize your other assets, your house. You've seen where the IRS sells off property. They sell your house,
real estate.
It's in. They're legally disclosed in the newspapers.
It was like foreclosures?
An IRS auction, absolutely. If you have any sort of collections, paintings or furniture, they'll sell it off. And believe me, they're not going to get top dollar. They're the last people in the world you want selling your assets. So they just want to get their money.
Is that where I should go buy a house?
You could buy a house there, but yeah. And those people who have those kind of houses generally are very, very, very wealthy people. And they owe money, mega thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. The average Joe doesn't owe that kind of money. The average Joe in an average house isn't in that kind of position. Those very wealthy people who had really good years and they forgot to pay their taxes, they're the ones who get jammed up. There are warrants, tax warrants. They go on your credit report. You go to buy a house or get a car and all of a sudden you have a judgment on your account because the tax department put a judgment on your account. It's going to impact your credit. The key is you got to figure out how to pay them. Pay them.
So what's a judgment?
A judgment is the same thing as a warrant. It just goes on your credit report. They file it with the county clerk. And if you have come into any assets, if you win the lottery or you inherit property, they're going to get their money first.
So on top of levying your accounts and such, they put the warrants out there?
They put the warrants out there and they seize any sort of assets that you come into. And the judgments are good for 10 years. And after 10 years, they have the right to renew them. If you're young enough, they're going to renew that 10 year to another 10 years. So they're on you for 20 years. I've seen older people get off. They're 65 years old. They owe thousands of dollars from years of not paying and dodging the tax man. They get off on those offers and compromise. They pay, you know, maybe they'll pay a few thousand dollars on a big bill. It's hard to get them. There are promises on TV. There are those firms out there that are really kind of scams. They're saying they're going to get you IRS relief.
All they're doing
hard.
Is just getting you in the store. It's a bait and switch kind of thing.
And they're charging you a lot of money. They'll tell you, give me $5,000. If you had $5,000, I recommend you call the IRS or the state tax department and tell them I'll send you $5,000 and I'll pay you off each month. The key is, you know, you can't hide from them. You're embarrassed. You get your wages garnished, your bank accounts seized. Get on the phone, make a payment plan, and figure out so it doesn't happen again.
Could you amend your tax returns at that point if you do feel...
Yes, you can amend your tax return for any time that you think that there's a position where you reported it incorrectly. You could go either way. You could owe more money or you could get more money back. But you can amend your returns for up to 3 years. That's allowed. It's not illegal.
So if you're a freelancer or something, you feel like you're an accountant or you did it yourself and you did it wrong.
Correct.
And you owe this
payment. Yep, you can amend and pick up additional expenses, reduce your tax liability. Absolutely. Do it. I recommend doing it. Don't be afraid to amend your tax return. So we're going to bring this to an end. But before we go, I wanted to just comment. We did get a comment on our webpage regarding the FDIC insurance limit from our show a couple of weeks ago, and I said that it was $100,000, and somebody wrote in and said, no, it's $250,000, but it was $250,000 during 2009. They raised it just till the December 31st, 2009, and then it went back to $100,000 in 2010. So you were right. If it was last year, it's $100,000 this year. Okay, we're going to come back in a minute, and we'll go through the next half of the show. Okay, we're back. HeritageRadioNetwork.com, Flash Talks Cash. We got some emails this week. We have some questions posed by the by our friends out there.
I just wanted to throw out that phone number again. That number is 718-497-2128, 718-497-2128. We enjoy hearing from you. Timmy, please don't call back. All right, we have a question from Mike, and he asks, what is the upside of purchasing / leasing a hybrid sedan before the end of 2010. Also,
I had to look this up because these hybrid credits, not very many people take advantage of them. And they're pretty good, but they had to improve the hybrid cars. I think the hybrid cars are cars are better now. There's a couple of credits out there. There's a regular hybrid credit, and it goes from between $400 and $2,400, depending on the cost of your car. It's a rate. It has to be less than, the car has to weigh less than 8,500 pounds. And this is good through December 31st, 2010. There's also, on top of that, a conservation credit, which is another $250 to $1,000 that added to the first credit. The thing about the conservation credit is it phases out after the manufacturers sell the specific quantity of qualifying cars, which means, and I know I remember this last year, Toyota sold out right away their 60,000 cars that they allotted, and Honda sold out all of their cars that they were allotted in 2009. So if you want to buy a hybrid car, you have to go to the manufacturer. It could be a Ford, could be a GM, whatever it is. Find out how many, which cars are qualified for these credits, and if they're available for sale in 2010. Credits are beautiful things. I told you before, you get your money back from the government direct. It's not a deduction. It's money back from the government. It's a beautiful thing.
Against your tax.
Yep, against your tax.
All right, this is a longer question. You want me to read the whole thing?
Well, let's do the best you can.
I'll paraphrase. All right, we have Robert. He currently owes about $30,000 in credit card debt. He recently came into a significant amount of money, larger than...
$39,000.
You want to read the question? I was trying to paraphrase here. All right.
Come on.
He wants to know if he should pay off his credit card debt in one fell swoop, or if he should take out a loan against... or, you know, take out another line of credit against this so that he can pay off the debt over a longer period of time and consolidate. He also has an issue. He wants to purchase a house with his partner.
Right.
And he wants to put something towards that as well. So he was wondering what he should do with this money and what his next step should be.
It's a good question, Robert. My opinion is you have $30,000 of debt and you got $39,000. I would say pay off your credit card debt. And the reason is, first of all, it's very expensive to have credit card debt. Yes, you can go get another loan. It's an unsecured loan. You're gonna get less interest rate than the credit card. However, you're still paying interest. I know that you will then be pretty much wiped out and your partner is going to wind up funding the down payment on the house, the new house you want to buy. But you will have more money on a monthly basis to pay more to the mortgage. So, you know, you're freeing yourself up. I think you're setting your low. You're paying like $1,000 a month in minimum payments to the credit cards. So now you're going to have at least $1,000 more a month and you're putting it towards good positive debt instead of negative, debilitating debt. So I say, I know it's lousy. You feel rich. but pay down that debt and try not to get into that debt again. Yeah. You know, now you have the money, you're freed up, you have $1,000 a month that you are paying. Make sure you do smart things with your $1,000 a month.
It's always nice when you get that one fell swoop of money and you're like, yeah, wow.
You feel rich.
Yeah, it's
nice. It's a beautiful thing.
I haven't felt that way in a while.
Well, I don't know how much money you have. Okay, so we're going to now go to the Story-matic.
Oh, what were our cards from last week?
Well, our cards from last week were...
Okay. There we go. There's the Story-matic music. There we go. Thanks, guys.
It's the Creative Accountant segment.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Creative Accountant.
Read the cards from last week.
The cards were a plumber, a writer of bad poetry, and medicine isn't working. Am I reading it this week?
You can read it. Okay. Be my guest.
You have to be. I haven't spoken much. So
you have to be expressive.
I wanted to get out here a little bit more.
Be expressive.
Expressive.
See.
They can't see my expression.
No, they can hear it.
I'll hear it. All right. Anna went to work as usual on Tuesday, biking over the bridge up the avenue to the hospital. She waved hello to George's security guard and went up to the fourth floor. Nothing unusual there. She stepped over the elevator into a puddle of nasty-looking water. She tiptoed through the muck until she reached the nurse's station. There she spotted unfamiliar legs sticking out from under the desk. Anna stopped right there to assess the situation. The patient seemed to be okay, however, the staff was not around. What is going on here? Who is this guy? After a few minutes, she finally spoke, and his legs jolted. He had no idea she was standing there. He slowly crawled out from under the desk with a wrench in his hand. Anna asked, What was going on? He answered, Oh, I'm the plumber trying to fix the leak. I have been at it a while, but it may take a week. Oh, we're rhyming now. She smirked at his response and she asked, What is leaking? He responded, I don't know yet, but I will, don't fret. Oh, she said, and she started to wonder about this plumber. She asked him, I need to start work. Will you mop up soon? He looked at her with surprise and said, Lady, that's not my job. You will have to speak to Bob. Oh, she said, But why? He replied, Look, you don't know me, but mopping the floor is below me. She had heard enough. She picked up the phone to call Bob, and there was no dial tone. Now what? She was getting aggravated. So much she got a massive headache. Anna walked over to the medicine cabinet and took out two aspirin without any water, since there was no water available due to the leak. She pulled out her cell phone and asked the rhyming plumber for Bob's number and started dialing. When Bob answered, she told him her version of the story. Bob listened and responded that the rhyming plumber was the only guy available at this job. Anna wanted to know why he can't send her a normal, helpful plumber. Bob replied, The hospital is a slow payer. I sent over a slow plumber. Now you know how aggravating it is. Anna couldn't believe what she heard. I can't deal with this guy. My headache is getting worse. She hung up, and the next phone call was to accounts payable department. They need to pay the bills because the rhyming plumber is torture. I need to work on my reading skills, first of all.
Yeah, that's for sure. So I
jumped the gun on the rhyming plumber.
You did. Anyway, so what the financial situation here is, you get what you pay for.
This is always true.
And I always tell people, you know, you want to get good service, you got to pay for it. You got to, and if you are going to dodge bullets, you're going to get...
If you're going to cut it yourself, you're going to get worse
service.
You're
going to get a rhyming plumber who's not going to fix the water. And you're going to be...
He's a slow plumber who rhymes and...
He's a writer of bad poetry.
Oh, is that what that was? Oh, I got it.
Bad poetry.
Okay.
So...
Who wrote this story?
I don't know. It came anonymous.
Oh, it came anonymously?
It came anonymous.
Did it come anonymously from your house?
No. So we know that, you know, we want our listeners to submit their stories from the cards that we pick every week from the Story-matic, and you have to include the three cards in your story and include a financial component to the stories. So next week, our three cards are going to be...
A person who would prefer not to.
Ooh.
Object of a crush and a box of kittens. A lot of animals so far, huh?
I guess.
People like
so,
animals.
So we're going to listen, for, hope that you'll submit a story and be a creative accountant and consider... A person who would prefer not to. That's very suggestive.
I know.
An object of a crush. That's very romantic. And a box of kittens. That's very nice. So there you go. Make your story and see what you come up with.
So Flesh, do you recommend at this point with the accounts payable? How would you push that through? She can't do anything about that. She's just stuck with Bob the rhyming. No, Bob's a plumber. Bob's a janitor. And then we got the rhyming plumber. So there's nothing you can do.
Well, she could certainly make a lot of fuss.
Yeah, but what, at the end of the day, the hospital has a policy, probably.
Who knows what the story is? I don't know what they...
Well, that's the story we got. We're working with the story we got.
Well, suppose someone got sick, really sick from the lousy water running around the floor. Then they would have a real issue. By the way, the insurance company wouldn't want to know that the accounts payable department is so slow to pay that they're causing problems inside the building. Yeah. There's all sorts of things that
They say hospitals are the worst place to be anyway. More disease in hospitals than outside of hospitals.
Okay, but we're talking about the finances.
I'm sorry. We got into insurance then, too.
Okay.
I thought we were going to run full circle here.
I just wanted to let you guys know that there is a couple of new tax laws that came out in 2010 that might be very appealing to some people. If you're planning on, if you have a business, and you plan on improving your property that your business operates in, could be you could have a rental property, or you can have a restaurant, or you can have an office. So normally when you put an improvement, unfortunately, the government makes you depreciate that. They don't let you write that off over 39 years.
39?
39 years. 39 years for commercial improvements. Okay, it takes a long time to recover over 39 years. But they put out, you know, Obama's trying to stimulate the economy. So he says, okay, you could depreciate it over 15 years. We'll accelerate it a little bit, which is a little bit better than 39 years. 5 years would be best. But
how long is this program going on for?
Well, it's for 2010. It's 2010, so it's a good thing.
Wait, I don't understand. How would they know? So in 2010, you'll get, like,
you get if you
40% of your... Because you're going to be depreciating it over 15 years.
As opposed to 39.
39. So next year, so like this year you spend $50,000.
You get 1/15 every year.
But only this year? Or is this an ongoing thing?
No, for the next 15 years you'll write off.
Oh, so this trying to spark improvements.
Stimulate people spending money.
Gotcha.
So if you're going to make a restaurant, you know, if you're going to do some updating in your restaurant or something like that, you get to write off the improvements over 15 years as opposed to 39.
Yeah, but how do they keep track of that after this?
You have to keep track of it. You have to keep track of it. The other thing is if you get jammed and you're unemployed or you have run out of money, you can take your money out of your IRA if you're under 59 and a half under certain exceptions.
Like okay, what?
You know, otherwise you pay a 10% penalty, right?
And
you
tax
know that.
On the income then.
Well, you always pay tax. I can't get you out of the tax. But there's a 10% penalty. So if you're under 59 and you need to get money out of the IRA, you may be exempt from the penalty if you died, obviously, or you're disabled. If you're disabled, you can take your money out of the IRA.
What if you're mentally disabled and you're burnt out from work?
Emotionally disabled.
Emotionally, that.
We're not going there now.
Isn't that a disability?
Yeah, right? In my family. No, okay.
Really?
And then if you have medical expenses... for yourself or your spouse or your kids, you could take your money out of your IRA.
Does that include dental?
It includes dental. Or if you have to pay medical insurance, COBRA, and you've been unemployed for at least 12 weeks, you're eligible to take out the IRA without a penalty. So these are good things. They're trying to stimulate. Of course, you can always
pay a tax on it, though.
Always pay tax, but no penalty. There's a 10% penalty you're excluding. You can always take the money out if you're a qualified first-time home buyer, you can take up to $10,000 out without a penalty. But they have a new rule that a first-time home buyer is only somebody who has not bought a house in 2 years. So if you sold a house a few years back and you've been a renter for a couple of years, you're eligible for this again.
Nice.
So it's a 2-year window. So if you need your $10,000, it's right there for you. And finally, if you need to pay college tuition for yourself, your spouse, your grandkids, anybody who's related to you, you can take note. They don't have to be your dependent. You could just take the money out and no penalty.
How do you report that then?
It's on a form.
Okay.
So I'm going to just remind you the three cards for next week. I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear a cool story, a funny story, an interesting story.
And don't forget the 250-word limit.
And don't forget, we're handing out a prize this month. The best this month is getting...
Starting in September?
A bottle of wine.
Are we including the story that we just read?
Yes, we are.
Bottle of wine from the Barter House.
So submit your stories and, you know, a nice bottle of wine for sitting down and writing a quick story for us.
I can't wait to see the stories. All right, we have the person who would prefer not to. Object of a Crush and A Box of Kittens.
Okay, so submit your stories. You can go to info@heritageradionetwork.com.
You've been on for 30 minutes. You must be exhausted.
And so I'm going to sign off, and I want you guys to just remember, if you like what you hear here, tell your family, tell your friends. Tune in next week.